This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on provisions regarding offences against sovereignty, integrity and unity of India under Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita. The participants are Lalit Chaudhary, Supreme Court Advocate, and Sonu Sood, Anchor.
Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita 2023 BNS was enacted on December 25, 2023, repealing and replacing the Indian Penal Code 1860 IPC as the new penal code of the country. It has come into effect from 1st July 2024. To discuss a crucial aspect of BNS, Section 152, which deals with provisions regarding offences endangering the sovereignty, integrity and unity of India, we have with us Mr. Lalit Chaudhary, Advocate in Supreme Court of India. Begin the discussion. Can you tell us about the significance of Section 152 of BNS? In simple terms, what kind of offences does it deal with?
Earlier, we have a provision of Section 124A, which is there in IPC, which talks about seditious law. Seditious law was enacted by British government to suppress the Indian freedom fighter voices. So this law is completely repealed in new BNS, Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita, with somehow same sections on same footing, which is 152 of BNS. So basically we can say that seditious law, which is Rajdroh earlier, is turned into Deshdroh, which is treason. So earlier in 124A, the punishment is life imprisonment to 3 years. And now the punishment is quite stringent and the rate of punishment, the quantum of punishment is increased, which is imprisonment for life and 7 years. Which also be punishable with fine also. If we look at the section 124A, which speaks about that if you uses any word, either spoken or written, or if you using any visual representation, and through that representation you bring hatred or contempt, even if you excite the disaffection towards the government established by law. Now, if we see section 152, now the total wording has been changed, and it says that whoever purposely or knowingly, either by words spoken or written, or by sign or visual representation, or by the use of electronic communication. Now, this new word electronic communication is added in the light that we as an economy, growing as a big global economy and connecting digitally through different countries. So we having a vulnerability of attack through electronic communication also. So in that light, electronic communication is also used, also by the using of financial use also, if you attempt or excite the feeling, which brings armed rebellion or submersive activities, which includes, or you encourage the feeling of separatist, and finally you endanger the sovereignty, unity and integrity of India, then it will be a offense of 152 BNS. And in that light, if you commit that offense, you will be punishable for life imprisonment. You can also be awarded of imprisonment of 7 years.
You talked about purposely or knowingly, if you use words or the actions which are endangering the sovereignty, integrity and unity of the country. What are the provisions which help determine this? How is the room left for constructive criticism or healthy criticism, which is important in a democracy?
Article 21, which speaks about that everyone has a right to life and personal liberty, also speaks about right to speak. So the section nowhere says that you haven't any right to speak. We have a right to speak. We have a right to put a decent opinion also. A Supreme Court says that everyone has a right to speak and decent opinion should also be valued. Say for example, if four persons are agree on a certain particular point and one of them is not agree, means he or she having a decent opinion, her opinion should also be valued. And if you compress, if you suppress the views, the expressions, the opinion of someone, so it will act as a pressure cooker. Honorable Supreme Court remarked that decent opinion should also be valued. Healthy criticism is allowed. You can have a criticism, you can have a, in a sense of healthy criticism against the government or the policy of government. But if you suppress that, if you suppress the opinion, if you suppress the view, it will act as a pressure cooker. So in section 152 explanation itself says that the strong disapproval against the measures of government with some lawful means or malafide means, which is not bona fide, and your intention is not to excite your intention is not to excite any hatred or not to excite any disaffection towards the government, that will not amount to, will not attract the provisions of Section 152. So there is a clear-cut space keeping the principles of the law of land, which is the Constitution of India, in line. The law is not ultra-vires. It is on the line of the principle enshrined in Indian Constitution. So we have a right to speak, provided if you purposely do that, if you knowingly do that, you have malified intention, and by that intention you endanger the sovereignty, unity and integrity, you will be punishable with a rigorous imprisonment of life imprisonment and 7 year punishment.
Whatever is spoken or written or conveyed, communicated, that should not spread hatred, that should not spread the feelings of separatism, and also that should not incite any behavior which goes against various laws of the country. So you feel that more awareness is required in this direction. What would be your advice to social media users? How can they be mindful of avoiding committing an offense of this nature?
Sometimes we speak something which is not very warranted towards the government. So we should be very conscious. At the same time, the law presumes that whatever you are saying through your rational mind, at first stance, your intention is not malified. If we draw inference of your words, either spoken, written or visual representation, keeping circumstances or attending evidences, the court will work and will decide as if the act is such which endangers the sovereignty, unity or integrity of India. There is a distinction. We should not be very see the law in right now on a bad line. We see it in a very progressive welfare legislation. Why? Because no lawmaker says that you do not have a right to speak, you do not have a right to express your views, you do not have a right to express your opinion. But keeping that line of direction, if it is fined malified, if it is fined against the government, then you will be punishable.
Section 113 of BNS also has the same purpose, the same intention. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Which other similar sections are there which in conjunction with each other will ensure that this sovereignty, unity and integrity of the nation is not threatened?
The word unity, integrity, sovereignty is used in Section 113 also, but 113 and 152 of BNS are quite different. 113 says that if you having an intention to threaten the unity, integrity, sovereignty, plus the security, also economic security of India, and if you strike terror against that sovereignty, that security or economic security against government of India, not only against government of India, but also outside the foreign country where the resources of country are established. So Section 113 not only tackle terrorist activity outside India, but within India also. So the definition of 113 is quite enlarged. And this is a new provision which is included in this Sanhita, which talks about that if you having an intention to threaten the unity, threaten the integrity, sovereignty, security or economic security of countries by using bomb or by using dynamites or any other explosive substance, and by using that substance you causes any death or injury to any person, make any loss or damage or destruction of any property. Say, for example, you disrupt any supply or services which is essential to the community of India. You damage the monetary stability of India. Or if you disturb the property which is used for defense purposes, which is very essential property, in those cases also you will be liable for the provisions of Section 113. Moreover, the section enlarged its definition by covering some more important aspects. Say, for example, if you by force, by using of any criminal force, you causing a death of any public functionary, you detain someone, you kidnap someone or you abduct someone through that act, or by kidnapping or by abduction, you are trying to ransom or make government compelling on some agreement, in those conditions also you will be punishable in a particular section. While doing the terrorist act, if you causes any death, you will be punishable for death imprisonment. For death also life imprisonment plus fine. And in other cases, if you causes any other offense other than death, you will be punishable for 5 years. It also varies from conspiracy of particular offense to abatement of particular offense. Section 113 says if you conspire any terrorist act, in those cases also, you will be liable for imprisonment of 5 years, which could be extended to life imprisonment. And if you having a property means out of that terrorist act, you possess any property knowingly that it is acquired through terrorist act, and if you are found in possession of that property, you will be punishable for life imprisonment plus fine also. One explanation of section 113 says that since it is a provision also in UAPA, so it is up to for the officer not below the rank of superintendent of police, he will decide as to register the case under UAPA or under BNS. So to address this offense at first hand, we need some crucial evidence. So for the assistant of local police also, to make local police to assist the central agencies while dealing with this particular act, section 130 is included in the provision of BNS.
You mentioned a little while ago that section 152 expands the scope of the gravity of the offense by including within it the act of also using electronic communication or use of financial means. Can you tell us a little bit more about these two aspects, electronic communication and use of financial means?
See, the new law focuses upon digitization. The lawmakers have some apprehension that since law is dynamic, changes as per the time and circumstances. Keeping in that view, the lawmakers knows that there might be a possibility that attack would be committed and offense would be committed through electronic communication also. So to level up that window to expressly explaining about all these aspects, the word electronic communication is included so that if you commit an offense through electronic communication using any social media platform or by using any WhatsApp or Instagram or any Telegram medium, you will be punishable. Plus the word financial use you talk about. Financial use means that illegal financial use, you are illegal funding group or a nexus or a syndicate group, you are funding into that group so that to commit an offense of 152. That funding is to be targeted by the government, is to be targeted by the lawmaker so that the act through funding should be stopped.
You feel that with repealing the colonial era laws, this change which has come out in the criminal justice system, starting from July 1st, these laws have been enacted. This symbolizes the commitment to adapt and evolve with ever-changing dynamics of the society. And you feel they reflect India's commitment to modernized legal framework and ensuring justice to all?
Fast, efficient and easy accessible justice is a essential component of good governance. So keeping in that mind, the lawmakers has streamlined the provisions, streamlined the expressions. They have simplified the laws. They have focused on victim-centric approach, the citizen-centric approach. The focus earlier were on penalty. Now the focus is on justice. We have keeping in mind the retributive theory of law, which says that despite of punishment, despite of fine, we can also reform the offender through community service. That is why the new provision of community service is included. Also to reduce the burden of courts, to reduce the burden of prison, this provision is added. The lawmakers has manifested that through all this process, they are trying to fasten the process while including digital mode or electronic technology into a law so that the free, accessible and easy justice should be reaches to the remote area. The motto of this criminal law legislation is to also protect the citizen, to right. make them aware about the law, that what is the law, how they have to deal with, what are their rights. Say for example, we have a provision of that you have to report to a victim the progress report of the investigation within 90 days. So some time-bound approach is also used in this new law so that the process will be fast enough and ultimately justice should not be denied. Justice will be there on time and efficient justice is there with on time.
Thank you so much, sir, for throwing light on crucial aspects of the transformative changes taking place in India's legal landscape.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on provisions regarding offences against the sovereignty, integrity and unity of India under Bhartiya Nyaya Sanhita. The participants were Lalit Chaudhary, Supreme Court Advocate and Sonu Sood, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.